I would like for you to stand and turn to Genesis chapter 6 tonight. We're going to look at these verses, going to begin with verse 1 tonight and read down through these. And I'm going to talk a little bit about a man named Noah tonight. And Sister Frieda sang about the rescue ship, and Sister Bell sang about the haven of rest. I believe this is what God wants us to talk about tonight, a little bit about Noah and how that God spared him and God blessed him and God was with him. You know, God is good, you know, and God is with us. And God does so much for each and every one of us. But it says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Verse 5 says, And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Verse 8 says something about a man named Noah. The Bible says, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I want to talk a little bit tonight with God's help. You may be seated. I do need the help of the Lord tonight, but I want to talk a little bit about Noah and just what kind of man that he was and the time and the days that Noah lived in and how that they are so much like the days and the times that we live in. You know, we've kind of taken Noah today and he's been made a fairy tale. He's been made a children's story more than anything else. I know that, you know, you can go different places. You can find little figurines of Noah and of the ark and of the animals. And, you know, it's kind of been like a children's story more than anything else. But the story of Noah and the generation that he lived in is a tragic story. You see, time had passed. And about 2,000 years have passed to the time that Noah began to come on the scene. Man had begun to increase. There's things that happened in the days of Noah that are happening in our days. And we're seeing those things today, and we'll just get to those in just a minute. But in the midst of all of these things and all the turmoil and all the things that were happening upon the earth, there was one man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was one that lived a life in such a way that when all of these others were turning away from God, you know, we get alarmed about the time and that we're living in and the things that are happening. I guess we ought to be alarmed about these things. But, you know, we ought to go on living for God regardless of all that's taking place. The Bible says that no Noah was such a man as that. Well, you know, he had a great heritage that was left to him. Noah was about 500 years old when he began to beget his sons, his three sons. And Noah was about 500 years old when we first hear him mentioned here in the Bible. His father was named Lamech. His grandfather was named Methuselah. You read about him being the oldest man man that's recorded to have lived in the Bible. Then we know that his grandfather was Enoch. And the Bible tells us in two places that Enoch walked with God, and then he was not, for the Lord took him. I believe, praise God, that was passed down from generation to generation, the fear of God and the desire to walk with God. Noah was a man that feared God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, it says Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And it says, and Noah walked with God. You know, that's a choice that you and I make. And Noah chose to be close to God. You know, when someone is referred to as walking with God, it means they've made that commitment unto God and they're willing to follow him. With all that was happening in Noah's time, praise God, Noah made up his mind that I'm going to walk with God. Then Noah was a man that God took special notice to. The Bible says in chapter 7 in verse 1 that God says about Noah, he said, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. When the population was exploding in Noah's day, as it is in our day, when men began to multiply upon the earth and sin began to be something that would infect mankind, just like a disease. When you get many people together and one has a germ, it begins to spread from one to another. And in Noah's day, sin began to spread. But God took notice of Noah that he was a righteous man. He said, I've seen you before me in this generation. I believe tonight that God is looking down and that God sees his people that are willing to stand and be different. God sees his people today that are willing to be like Noah, and God takes special notice of his people. He sees all the other things, but he's taking special notice tonight of his children that are living in this generation tonight that we are a part of. Then it says that he was a man of great faith. Now Noah, the Bible says in the New Testament, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. He said he was moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. As I begin to think about Noah here, and what the scripture says, that God warned him, and Noah was a one that would work and move. He was moved by this warning that came from God. He was moved by the faith that he had in his heart and in his life. He believed that God would do what he said he would do. He believed that God would bring a flood upon that wicked generation, and God would destroy all of mankind from off the face of the earth, every living thing. And he began to be moved to prepare an ark. I thought it all that not only showed his faith, but it showed that in Noah there was a great concern for his family. He was willing to do whatever it would take to see his family lifted above the judgments of God. Judgment is coming upon this earth just as sure as it did in the days of Noah. And God needs some men and women that will be concerned about this lost and this dying world, and will put the faith and the effort forth that is needed to reach those that will perish at the time of the rapture. Many will be left behind. He's a man also that not of great faith. Not only one that showed this great concern for his family, but he was a leader in his family. You know, it takes somebody great to be so inspiring that a man would take this period of time that he would pass through building this ark and obeying God. It took one that would have something in his life that his sons would be willing to follow him to the very end. That they were willing to be faithful unto him. That he would inspire in his wife that desire to build that ark. That he would inspire in the sons and his daughter-in-laws a desire to stay close to God. We need leaders like Noah in this last day as judgment begins to approach upon this world and we see the wrath of God on the horizon tonight. We need some that will stand up and live to the point that they can attract others to the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve in Him tonight like it was in the days of Noah. He was a man that stood on his convictions. You know, you wouldn't find Noah after a few years would pass, that things would change in his life, that his age began to come upon him, and the time passed as he was building this ark. I don't believe you'd find Noah being inconsistent. I don't believe you'd find him leaving off in his prayer life and the things that were important for him to finish this journey and this great time that God would give him, but you'd find him being one that would stand upon the convictions, that would stand upon righteousness. Peter says this, he said, God spared not the old world way back there in Noah's day. God kept his word of bringing judgment upon the unbelievers, upon the sinners, upon that wicked generation. And the Bible says, he saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, and he bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. I believe you find Noah after 10 or 15 years, maybe 75 or 80 years, you find Noah standing on that ark with a hammer in one hand or whatever he was using, and you find him, praise God, calling out and warning all of those that God's going to destroy this world. It's time to get ready because the flood will surely come. You see, he believed the Lord. My Lord, we don't believe the rapture is going to take place. We believe the rapture was going to take place. The altars would be full of people tonight. If we really believed that Jesus could come at any moment and that we were going to stand up before Him to give an account, I believe that we'd be crying out more than we do to God. I believe Noah was one that would stand upon his convictions. Give us some men and women that would be unmovable in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He knew how to worship God. You know, Noah was a man that, you know, not only did he know how to build that ark, God gave him the plans, but Noah was a man that knew how to build spiritual things as well. And you find that after the flood, the first recorded altar that's ever been built in the Bible, the one that's first recorded, praise God, in God's Word, it says that Noah built an altar unto the Lord. You know, I kind of feel that Noah already knew how to build altars. I kind of feel that this man that God would look down upon in that generation and would favor him over all these others. This man that would live righteous, this man that would be a preacher of righteousness, I believe he's one that already knew how to worship God before that altar was ever recorded in Genesis. I believe that maybe there's some other altars that God chose not to record for us, but Noah knew how to worship God. And he not only built that altar unto the Lord, but the Bible said he offered burnt offerings on the altar. You know, Noah knew how to worship God. He knew what pleased God. And in spite of all that was happening around him, all that was taking place in that world of his day, praise God, he chose to worship God. You know, the Bible tells us that God is a spirit, and he seeks those that will worship him in spirit and truth. My Lord, this thing of just sitting around and mumbling a little bit, I believe we're going to have to worship God. I believe that God's people ought to know how to worship him. Hallelujah, and to praise him and not be ashamed of him. Hallelujah. Woo. You know, it's kind of an act of worship for old Noah to build that ark, and everybody looking at him and saying, Noah's mad. Something wrong with him. He's out here in the desert and he's doing something here. He's building a great ship out here. He's out here building this thing, getting these big timbers, doing all this work. You know, some of them probably looked at him and said he's wasting time. But you know, I believe Noah might look at them and say, I'm not wasting time, but I'm making the best of the time that God has given unto me. Hallelujah. I'm redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Hallelujah. And then he was obedient, and he was hard working. Boy, you know, the Bible says that we're laborers together with Christ. And all, if we're going to make it to heaven, he said, we're going to have to strive that we can enter in to that straight gate. I know that we're saved by faith and through the grace of God when we come to an altar of prayer. But once we make that commitment and God gives us forgiveness, then there's a life that needs to be lived by each and every one of us. And oh, Noah, you know, he knew that in order for him to go upon the promise of God, that God was going to spare him and his family, he knew that he had to obey God. He knew that that ark was his only way out. I want you to know tonight that Jesus Christ is the only way out, hallelujah, of this world. That Jesus loves us tonight, and he's made a way that we might escape. But it's still going to take obedience. The Bible said only those that endure to the end shall be saved. Genesis 6:22 said, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. You know, he didn't ask God no questions. God said, I want you to take and build an ark. I want you to do this. He said, I want you to, if you look at verse 14, he said, I want you to make an ark of gopher wood. He said, I want you to put some rooms in it. Thou shalt make him the ark and pitch it within and pitch it without. You know, he said, when you make this ark, it's got to be sealed on the inside. It's got to be sealed on the outside. You know, the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost is given unto us as a seal. Hallelujah! We need to be sealed by the blood of Jesus. We need to be sealed through the Word on the inside and on the outside as well, if we're going to make it. You see, oh, Noah might have said, well, Lord, I'll just skip over this little patch here, and that thing would have begun to leak. I praise God when this old ship begins to pull out. I want to finish the journey all the way to heaven's gates. Hallelujah. And then Noah was blessed of God. You know, he was blessed of God and by God. Verse 9, after the flood and all was over, the Bible says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But I want you to look at something here. If you have your Bible, the Bible says in verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. You know, God began to talk to Noah. Not only was he all of these other things, but he was one that could commune with God. He was one that would worship God, and God would respond to his worship and begin to tell him, "The end of all flesh has come before me." He said, "For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Did you know that Noah was blessed before he ever stepped foot on that ark? Hallelujah. He was blessed to get the warning from God. He was blessed to get the directions of how to escape the wrath of God. The Bible says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Hallelujah! The only way out of this old life and to heaven is through Jesus tonight. You know, this is symbolic of the rapture in a way, because when the flood came, you find that the ark was lifted up on the waters above all the earth. It was lifted up above all the turmoil and all the terror and all the judgment that God was putting upon this earth. And it was taken out of the way. Have not gone through the tribulation. If you want to think you're going to go through the tribulation, then you go right ahead. There's many that think they're going to go through the tribulation. But I believe God's going to lift us up out of this old world before the Antichrist steps up to power. Hallelujah. We're going to be taken out of this old world. You know, I'm glad of that tonight. I'm glad that I'm not going to be here with enough problems as it is already. Enough things happening bad already. Praise God. But you know, in Noah's day, some bad things were happening. What was it like in the days of Noah? Turn back to chapter 6 and verse 1. You know, I mentioned earlier, but it says, "It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, there became a population explosion on the earth in the days of Noah." Jesus says, "As it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." We're seeing people and houses coming up and going up everywhere more than ever, and it's alarming to see what's happening. But we're seeing a population explosion in this world that this world cannot handle, and with all the more of the multitudes, the sin even grows worse. But the Bible said that where sin did abound, grace would much more abound. The grace of God to save those and whosoever will. Hallelujah. Society became infected with sin. There was open sin and rebellion against God in those days, just like it is today. And it's becoming worse. It was the normal thing to do. The moral decay was abounding everywhere. Have you ever seen sin so rampant as it is in the time that we're living in? Every day it's worse. Every day there's something worse to shock you and to alarm you of the things that are happening. The family unit is the first to suffer. In the days of Noah, the family was disregarded. For the Bible said that when the sons of men saw the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, they took them wives of all that they chose. You see, they began to mix. The sons of God were those that said, "We have religion." The daughters of men were the profane. Those were the ones without God in their life. But the sons of God began to choose whatever they wanted to do. And marriage began to decay. We're seeing a great decay in the family today. My Lord, look around.
and see how the families are crumbling. It's no longer until death us do part, but it's until I get tired of you and want you no longer. The Bible, Jesus even said they'd be married and given in marriage. Paul said, you know, not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And all the mixed marriages in those days, the unbelievers and the believers coming together. The men in those days that said they were the sons of God began to get their eyes upon the daughters of men because they were poor to look at. What is Satan using today to destroy more than anything else? It's the vain beauty. It's the sexual revolution that we see in our time that has run rampant across our television screens and our magazines and our society, just like it was in the days of Noah. And it's getting worse. The families are suffering. Children are being torn. And without a mom and dad. You know, many are finding that mom and dad are going in different directions. Mom and dad not caring about the children. My God, they're living together in sin and in adultery and fornication. And it's the normal thing to do today. The marriage vows are disregarded today. It's what feels good. And if I love you and you love me, that's all that matters. But in the sight of God, it's sin. And it's still wrong today. You know, they begin to do all of these things. And the Bible says that God began to say this. He said, my spirit will not always strive with men. You know, as I looked at this, I find that the Lord is saying here, He is being long-suffering. God wanted to save that generation. God was giving them the opportunity. That's why He said it'll be 120 years. I'll give them time and maybe they'll repent. I'll give them time and maybe they'll believe the message that Noah has. Oh, but you know, His spirit was rejected when men begin to go after the place and put the Spirit aside. They no longer wanted the Spirit of God. Conviction in our churches anymore is a hard thing to find. Conviction of sin in the life that many are living today. It's hard to find anyone being convicted and knowing that they're doomed for hell without Jesus in their life. But that's what's happening. And you know the Bible says in Peter, he said those who are those sometimes disobedience, listen what it says. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. You know, he said, I'm going to give them 120 years. For he said, man is flesh. You know, this flesh cannot strive against God. This flesh cannot endure but so long. And God has set time limits on you. And God has set time limits on me tonight. God has set time limits on nations and governments and all flesh tonight is limited by the time that God sets. But God said in the days of Noah, for those 120 years, I'll be long-suffering with them. For those 120 years, while the ark was being prepared, and the Bible said there was just few that ate were saved by the water, but many today will wait to long. Many will wait. My God, while God is waiting and God is calling and God is offering salvation and He's waiting for men and women to call upon Him for salvation. For the Bible said that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. But in Noah's day, that generation pushed the Spirit aside. This is why God said, my spirit will not always strive. There's no one that can get saved without the Spirit of God dealing with them. There's no one that can get saved until conviction begins to come in. But he said, he is flesh. You know, that whole generation was given and driven by the flesh, by the carnal desires. My Lord, I've never seen it so as it is in our day today, that men are driven by the carnality and the desires of this old life. They're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They'll stay out of God's house to go to some pleasure or some maybe some racetrack or some beer joint or run to some fishing hole instead of loving God and putting Him first. And that generation in Noah's day was given over to the flesh. God said they're but flesh. And they were driven by those desires. And God said, I'm setting a limit. I'm setting a time. I don't know when Jesus is coming. We don't know. The Bible said no man knows the day or the hour. But Paul told one church, he said, you can know the times and the seasons. You can be sure that it's near. When you see things begin to happen, have you seen what's going on over in the Gaza Strip over in Israel? You know, the United Nations and some of the nations got together and they forced Israel to give in and to give that little strip of Palestinians there their sovereignty. And today on the news they said that the Palestinians can't control the armed men. They're so fierce and they're going about killing and kidnapping and blowing up and they can't handle it. The Bible said there'll be no peace. No peace to Israel until Jesus comes back. And these things are happening. One of the things that happened in Noah's time was the word of God said that violence filled the land. You know, you can't go and do anything anymore without something bad maybe happening to you. Every time you go out, when you go to the grocery store, you take a chance of somebody doing something violent to you. You know, I read in the newspaper that one of these dollar stores in Hagerstown, two armed men, the other night went in there with their matching things on, and they began to rob that store. Oh, my Lord, it's just everywhere you go. You can't pull up to a stoplight without the fear of someone sticking a gun in your head and trying to hijack your automobile or hurt your family. You see, the earth was filled with violence back then, and it's filled with violence, not just wars, but the violence that is at home to every one of us tonight. It's part of our society. We never know when something bad will happen. But God set a time limit. You know, Jesus said in one place about the 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They didn't realize it, but there was a time limit set. And at the midnight hour, the cry went out to go ye out to meet him. God sets time limits on you and on me. For the Bible said it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when death will knock on our door. Those people knew that it would be 120 years, but they didn't know the exact day or the time that God was going to do what they didn't believe it was going to happen anyhow. But when it got down to the last 7 days, God began to move Noah after building that ark and putting the last little bit of pitch and tar on it and sealing it up, putting the last nail in it. God said, it's time. Hallelujah. When's the last prayer we're going to make to send up to heaven? When's the last soul we're going to witness to? Or the last time we open this blessed book and look at it? And God said, it's time to go home. We don't know. We don't know the day or the hour. But it got down to where he said there's 7 days left. 7 days. Did you know the Bible says in Revelation that John saw a great angel? And he watched that angel as he stood with one foot on the sea and one foot on the land. John saw this great, big, mighty angel. And that angel began to declare that time would be no more. You know, there'd be no more time to repent. There'd be no more time to seek God. There'd be no more time to sit in church and worship God and feel His good presence. You see, there's coming a time when there'll be no time for the sinners any longer. And when God said, Noah, you get your wife and your sons and you bring them on and your daughter-in-laws, you get them and you bring the animals and I command you to get and you bring them on into the ark. He said, there's just 7 days left. Praise God, I can see the time going down. I can see old Noah maybe, praise God, on the 7th day bringing all that he can. I can see the following day on the 6th day and on the 5th day and the 4th. And the 3rd and the 2nd and then getting down to that last final day, and when he stepped in on that last day, God shut the door. God took his big hand, and if anyone wanted to get in, they couldn't get in at all. You see, when the trumpet sounds and the rapture takes place, there'll be no more opportunity to go in the rapture. People are going to have to go through the tribulation. But in Noah's day, the rain began to fall. The judgment of God began to come upon them. And all of a sudden, I believe the terror and the horror and the realization began to set in. They realized that this man was telling them the truth. You know, there's going to be a lot of people after the rapture that we've witnessed to and, you know, that we've tried to win for the Lord. They're going to realize then to their own embarrassment and to their own anguish that it's too late. Waited too long. You see, God said, I waited 120 years. The long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. God's still waiting. He's waiting for men and women. He's waiting for young people. He's waiting for our families. You know, I don't know when he's coming. It used to be a song that I believe Kitty Wells used to sing. Said, wait a little longer, please, Jesus. A few more days to get our loved ones in. But while we're waiting for our loved ones, many are falling by the wayside. I'd like to be like John, say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know, I want my family to go to heaven. I ask God and I plead with God for their souls and for your families that God would touch them and save them. But my God, how many are going to backslide and go out on God in this time that we're living in and be allured and drawn away by this wicked generation? You see, sin has drawn many from their place of righteousness and holiness in God. And sin of the devil has lured many and brought them out from the prayer altars and from the Bible reading and the commitment that they once had with God. I feel God here tonight. The Bible says it was a great time of oppression in Noah's day. There was giants in the land. Look at those. Read those when you get home. But verse 5 said, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. He saw that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Have you ever seen so much sin? So many things dreamed up that comes out of Hollywood? And these things that men are dreaming up, new sins every day. New ways of drawing people away from God. New things to get their mind off of going into rapture. And men's minds and thoughts were continual evil continually. And verse 6 said it repented God and made him that he made man on the earth and grieved him at his heart. In other words, God was sorry that he ever created man. You know, I believe what he's doing now is he's looking down in this day that he's living in. He's seeing the very same things that he saw in the days of Noah. And that's what Jesus said. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They eat and they drank and they married. Boy, isn't it a party time? drink, get drunk, and do what you want, and eat, and just, you know, just take care of the flesh. Don't worry about the spirit. Don't worry about the soul. But when this old body is going back to dust and this soul lives forever, it's going to be either live in heaven or hell. No in between. We make that choice. We need to make that choice. And the Bible says, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. And just as sure as God said it, it began to happen. When that ark door was closed, and for the first time in the history of this world, raindrops began to fall from heaven. Never been a raindrop upon the earth until that day. Because the Bible said there was a mist that would come up and water the ground. There was a mist. But the Bible said that the windows of heaven were open, not as a blessing, but as judgment. You see, God can pour out judgment or blessings from the windows of heaven. And the fountains of the great deep were broken up. You know, they got a lie on TV, on that History Channel, that they'll tell you. They'll say, meet the real Noah. And maybe some of you seen that. They said he was one that just was some guy that he would haul a cargo of beer and animals and different things and merchandise. My God, there was nothing in that ark until God said, bring it in. And I could see Noah and his family. I don't know how thick the walls were of that ark. But perhaps he could hear them on the outside. No. Let us see. He could hear them scratching at the wood. You know, when the Germans, the Nazis, would execute the Jews in those concentration camps. And they'd take them in those concrete-filled rooms. And they would gas them at hundreds at a time. They said that there would actually be wall marks in the walls where the people would try to dig to get out. Can you see them digging to get in? And the door shut. And every mountain was covered with water. All the mountains and hills under the heaven, the Bible said. And the waters prevailed. God's judgment will prevail. But you know, if we'll listen and we'll do the right thing, we can enter into that ark while the door is open. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. He said, if any man open unto me. Now I know he's talking about coming into the church. But you know, that's also symbolic of us opening our hearts and our life to him. He said, if any man come unto me, I'll in no wise cast him out. Would you stand with me tonight? Praise the Lord. Praise God.